Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. The basketball keeps coming. I'm doing my best Miles Gray here, guys. The basketball keeps coming. The gods of the NBA keep smiling on us. We got trade deadline madness all around the NBA. We'll discuss some of the latest action. There's only about 28 games left in the season, which is wild. How did that happen? How is that possible? We're going to talk the state of the Houston Rockets with 10-year NBA vet, current Rockets analyst, host of the podcast NBA Rookie Life, Ryan Hollins, on today's episode. I'm Jack O'Brien.
And I'm Jabari Davis in for Miles Gray.
Uh-huh. And this is still Miles and Jack
got Mad
Boosties. Nailed it. Ryan, what's going on? Thank you so much for joining us with our usual host out on paternity leave, but we're thrilled to have you in here, host of the NBA Rookie Life podcast for the NBA and iHeart, drafted in 06 by the Bobcats, played for the Bobcats, Mavs, Wolves, Cavs, Celtics, Clippers, Wizards, Grizzlies. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
We're thrilled to have you. Congratulations on being an amazing athlete. That's cool to have played in the NBA. I did not play in the NBA, Jabari. I don't think you didn't play in the NBA, did you?
Honestly, my coaches had it out for me. That's really, it really boils down to that.
Goodness. That's the only way that we could be kept out of the league, a vast conspiracy. What's going on, man? How are you feeling about, let's start with the Rockets, actually. Another tough year, but from years like this, great things bloom. We've seen it happen before. And it's always good to hear from the people who are watching the whole thing to kind of hear your perspective. What are some bright spots? What are the glimmers of hope that you're seeing down there?
I think you get a chance to watch these kids grow and develop. And I think the coolest thing with rookies and second year guys, 19 and 20 year olds, like they develop and get better in the season. So you can see from just training camp to now, vast improvements where, you know, you'll have a veteran guy and they are who they are. They know who they are in the league. But watching that process, you know, makes everything that much sweeter. And then they'll have moments, they'll have a glimpse. It might be two possessions in a row, three possessions where you're going, oh, man, that you get like kind of like that can be the future. And you see those things. But it's fun. And yeah, rookies make a lot of mistakes and, you know, that everything is new to them and you have to be patient with their product, but you got to understand, like watching these guys develop, watching them get opportunities. And I remember being a young guy in the league. I didn't get a chance to just play and like iron my kinks out. And I think that's a golden time for these young guys to learn on the fly and to get better and to improve. And, you know, just the opportunities that they have, I think it's really cool to see. But the excitement that they bring to the table, yeah, the mistakes are there, but the development, and you get that instant gratification, you know, right away. We'll have a Jalen Green that you'll see his handles get better. Jabari Smith Jr. will improve the second time guarding a Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, Alperen Şengün, hey, can you put the ball in his hands? Yeah, man, he goes and gets you the youngest player in center in history to have a triple-double. So you're starting to see these guys do these things in the season and kind of like find their way in the league. It's that little wobbly, you know, deer that comes out and starts all of a sudden gallops and runs off. So we're excited to see our young guys move forward. And from my standpoint, it's fun because it's a lot of energy. And guys, you never know what you might get, especially with a young player.
Yeah, Jalen Green has had, I mean, one of the most fun people to watch in the league going to the basket is just, yeah, it's wild. We were, Jabari and I were, like, I thought he was, like, more guard size, and Jabari's like, no, I'm pretty sure he's, like, 6'9", 6'10", but he just jumps that high. That's, he just plays with his head at the rim. So, yeah, he's pretty cool to watch.
Ryan, you mentioned somebody, and I'll you know, Jack can tell you, I'm the leader in the Alperen Şengün, you know, fan base right here.
What's the nickname you gave him?
Is that the big fella's dream watching Alp play?
It is. My man. Look, I was already there as a rookie. I've been impressed by what I've seen in his second year. But can you speak directly to that? You know, you mentioned some of the growth that you've been able to witness with him up close. Can you speak directly to that?
It's his footwork. And, like, you got to understand, like, a young Ryan Hollins in the league was like, just rebound. Don't get pushed off your positioning. And it's like, nah, Alpi, go lead a team to a victory. Whoa, those are pretty big asks that are getting put on the young guys. But it's interesting, like, the more of a role that he's been given, the more he's almost seemed comfortable. And it was that unknown. He was the MVP in the Turkish league. So everybody's like, Turkish league, all right. But anybody that young that is an MVP of a league with a bunch of grown adult men that probably smoke cigarettes and have multiple kids, and you know what I'm saying? Like, these are real
men. And their kids smoke cigarettes.
And then you're the MVP. They're like, it means something. But he's just fun to watch. And for him, learning his accountability and what he means to the team, it's really cool. Like, he matched up against Sabonis. First time he saw Sabonis, you had checked him out. Like, he's playing lights out this year. Mm-hmm. Ball's moving through his hands. He's similar like Jokic, where he's like the point guard. He's the creator. He's the playmaker. And, like, kind of like watching Alpi watch him and then go, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can break you down off the dribble and, you know, kick the ball to a guard. I can initiate offense. I can do this. And I think he's been on somewhat of a tear since then. But for me, it's cool to see. And if you hadn't seen him, best footwork in the league, feel for the game, sneaky bounce, will go ahead and punch on you. Like, he's got a lot to him, but, like, you can legit play through LP on the block, and he can wheel and deal. And then he's got some showtime. He likes to have fun, and he's an enjoyment man. But, like, you see our young guys, like, kind of make a play, and they're like, they're excited. Oh, like, they're surprised. Like they're shocking themselves with some of these plays that we see on a nightly basis.
Why is it always the players from overseas that have the best footwork? Did he play, like, soccer? Hacky sack? Is hacky sack secretly the national sport of Turkey? Because I feel like Hakeem, we always heard it was because of soccer. Embiid, I guess it was soccer, right? Yeah. Soccer and also volleyball. I don't know why that would be such great. Footwork would be so important.
Soccer is like how we're like, yeah, hoop, basketball, football. They it's soccer.
That's all they could. Yeah.
And
it's
hacky sack. Yeah. Alp played soccer. You'll see him and Big Boban. Boban's walking around 7'5", and they're like they'll walk out and, like, dribble the basketball first. Like, that's the thing that they do.
Right, with their feet.
There's a level where, like, guys, like, I played soccer in high school and I didn't get any more footwork. That didn't help me out. So, like, there's some things that guys just have, you know. Right. So he's talented. And then obviously, when you're not that athletic, he's more athletic than you think, but you're not that athletic, in a sense, it was like, you know, Ryan Hollins, just go dunk a basketball. But he's like, okay, how can I beat you? Like, I have to have a left hand. I didn't have to have a left hand to dunk the basketball. They have to have a left hand. They're working on things and drilling things, and expectations are different. The coaching is different. I played overseas, and just the attention to detail, it's not the same, but the ask is there, and he has it. And I think that is a level where they are more skilled, because you got to be, like, you know, like, if you just go down and just dribble past people, why would I have to work on the nuances of the game? And I think that what we are seeing, though, is from the guard spot, American players, the skill set has just taken a leap. And we can thank Steph Curry for that.
Mm.
The dribble step backs, the dribble combinations, like, our guys on this side are doing a lot of things. And then with the emergence of small ball, you know, the league has changed from a spacing perspective. So I would challenge back that the league is coming around from a skill perspective, especially when you're seeing, you know, 7-footers, you know, dribbling through the legs, coming down, shooting pull-ups. And this is something common that we're seeing where, you know, your college coaches, your AAU coaches, your high school coaches are giving those 4s and 5s the freedom. So I would, you know, clap back and say that the skill set is raising from our American players.
Yeah, we talk about, like, the league feels progressive. Like, it feels like people, like you just mentioned, with playing against someone and then, like, building your game, taking a piece of their game to, like, add to your game. I feel like that's happening constantly, just league-wide, and it really feels like we're seeing it, especially with some of the smaller, like, guard play recently.
Jack, I was stepping to the gym, and the first thing I was told is, you're never going to take that shot in the game.
Right.
Like, yeah. You're never going to shoot a 3 in the game. Why are you shooting it?
Right.
Like, you're never, never work on that. Never get improved. Never be better. Like,
I was told that, and I was a shooting guard. So, but that has more to do with what my shot looked like.
Yeah, sorry, Jack. I don't know about that one. Sorry.
All right, let's talk. Speaking of young people, of whom a lot is asked of, I do just want to talk about LeBron, because he's hitting somewhat of a big moment in his career, I would say. Taking over the scoring title from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Again, it feels like it's could be a bigger deal than what we're making it. But this has been an opportunity for, you know, I think ESPN did a thing where they were like, what are some of your favorite shots from over the course of your career? And I did a thing where I was like, oh, let me go back and just look at his career. And there's a thing on YouTube that is just a cut up of all of the game winners from throughout his career. And it's wild to look at the video quality of the early game winners, because, like, we have watched him, like, some of these are against Gil Arenas and, like, Brandon Roy, and he looks his movement, his, you know, confidence with the ball, like, everything just looks still so smooth, and like, we're just watching a time traveler, like, move through different eras of the game and just be adding things to his game. So, I don't know. Jabari and I were talking about our favorite game winners from LeBron's career. My pick was in the playoffs versus the Raptors, where he just brought the ball up the court and, like, did a running, fading to the left shot, like, falling out of bounds, bank shot somehow, even though he was, like, didn't really have the angle on it. But it was a point in his career. It was when he was back in Cleveland, when, you know, it was known that they were going to win. Like, as you're watching it, you know what's going to happen. It was the time that, like, it most reminded me of, like, when I was a kid watching Jordan in the 96 finals, where you knew he was going to steal the ball and, like, hit the shot as it was happening, just because that's just what he did.
Now, the big thing is, make sure you do not foul anybody here on the dribble.
It's going to be James.
Sure, here it is. See, it's under
3 seconds to go. Throws up the floater. Oh, good night, Cleveland! That is for you!
I'm just wondering, you played in the league against him. Are there ever times as a player where you're almost caught up watching the show as well?
Well, I mean, look, I'll say this. I with Klay Thompson, I was on the Kings, you know, not to shift gears from LeBron, when he had that 35 points in a quarter.
Yeah.
In fact, in Golden State's office, there's like a picture of me, like, yelling at Klay, trying to make a miss from the bench, and he's knocking down a shot. And a funny thing about that, what he did is, I'm sitting there with my boy Carl Landry. Shout out Carl Landry, legend right there, man. Legendary power forward. And you know, like we're going back and forth just on some hoop talk on the bench. We're like, hey man, how good do you think Clay is? You know, this time when it was like Steph's show, they weren't like, I don't know if they're world champs. Yeah, they were good. They were running, played different. But how good is Clay? Like, you in on Clay? And Carl's like, man, I like him. And I was like, yeah, well, he doesn't dribble much. You know, he just shoots. Like, you think he can really, like, you know, win with that? Like, how good can he be? Before you know, like, Clay's hit one shot, then he hit another one, then he keeps going. Then we're like, all right, timeout. You know, this is getting embarrassing. Throw another defender at him. You know, it's a bank. It's a runner. He's going to the post. And at the point, he hit 10 straight. And we're like, dude. Me and Carl like looked at each other. We had to look like after probably like the eighth shot. Like, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like that. And we see it's the NBA record. So you become a fan of that moment. I would say one that I had to give respect. I couldn't be a fan of is I was on the Celtics when LeBron went off for that like 35-15-3 performance. We're up 3-2. Yeah. We're coming back. We got the big win in Miami. We stole one at their place. We're in a prime possession, kind of ahead of schedule from our standpoint of what we were going to do. We were like, let's go 7. We had KG, Paul Pierce, Rondo, Ray Allen. We're like, we had the veterans. They may be younger, but we're going to grind them out. The moment's going to get too big. LeBron's going to fold. It's not going to happen. And he came out in that game, and we figured we had Dwayne Wade like locked up. Like, not locked up, but Dwayne beat us, I think, you know, in game 1 or 2, whatever. And we're like, dang, Wade can beat you. He's a world champ. We got to respect him. So, you know, we adjusted, shifted our pick and roll defense. We were kind of sitting on Wade. I don't want to say we had it figured out, but we did a decently good job on him where it was kind of like our mindset was like Dwayne Wade versus the execution of Paul, Ray, Rondo, and KG. You know, that was kind of like a three-man game. So it was our execution versus them. They're one-on-one. So we're like, we got them. And LeBron came out. And we threw everything at him, but the kitchen sink out of the locker room. And I mean, literally, we were double teaming him from the elbow, and he was just turning and fading over those double teams. He was getting to the foul line like he was just in his stoic zone. KG was talking crazy to him. The fans were booing. I saw a kid with an expletive word, mm-hmm. which we can't say, LeBron shirt on that I couldn't believe that.
Boston? Come on.
Couldn't believe a 10-year-old would be wearing. I'm like, wow, you know, this was like war. And LeBron hadn't like gone to war and been successful in that moment. And that was, remember, like the Dwayne Wade's team. He just joined Dwayne Wade. Then it was like, nah, this is LeBron's team.
That was the moment.
I wasn't cheering for him, but like you had to give him his respect. Everybody in the locker room gave him his respect. And it was like, listen, he's better. He's that dude. He's the king. Put the hat on him. I was there for it. And it was tough to stomach because we were probably going to roll over the Thunder that year in the championship. They were just super young. They were super, super young. I think it was like their first or second year together. So that one stung, but I feel like you had to get that respect where it's due for LBJ.
Yeah. Yeah. I go back to the billboards all the time. The fact that the town he grew up in when he was in high school had billboards up from Nike and Adidas that were billboards aimed not at people, just at LeBron. Like advertisements to LeBron being like, please sign with us. Like that's Truman Show. Like your world is just, the world is like built and revolving around you. There's just so much pressure from such a young age. And the fact that we're here this many years later talking about how he's about to overtake the scoring title, which wasn't even the thing that he was like talked about when he came in as being like a scorer primarily. But
Jabari, name one other person that actually met the hype.
Right.
I was going to ask you, like, to be honest with you, like we always hype folks and, you know, oftentimes they deserve the hype. They've done it. But yes. I personally cannot think of another player that came in with the hype and the focus. And, you know, to Jack's point, with all of the attention being on them and not just meet it, exceed it.
Closest thing we might say, and I'll lead this to the OGs, the old heads to chime in on that. If I'm wrong, I would say Magic Johnson kind of always had a glow. Came to LA, Showtime Lakers. He had a squad behind him now. It's not that, but like Magic of like, he came in, that dude, the young guy, earned his respect, won championships, jump center. Like, I would say Magic in the sense of kind of maybe the hype that became like what he was supposed to be, you know, to a degree.
I mean, that game, that championship game with him versus Bird in the NCAA title was as big as anything that had happened in the NBA.
Yes.
Like, you know, so he was already a massive star. But yeah, that's, I feel like similar. Yeah.
And you're preaching to the choir with Magic praise. Look, you know, you won the high school title as a senior, you know, won a college title, you know, 2 years later, won an NBA title the year after that, you know, three titles at three levels in 4 years is pretty crazy.
Hey, Jabbar, you start glowing. We ain't see you glow like that all show. He said, man. Jabbar, he just makes it feel good, man.
It does. It does, man.
Jabbar might be a Lakers fan. He might be a little bit of a Lakers fan.
Just a smidge. Just
yeah.
A
smidge.
But it's unreal. You won't appreciate it till it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the big headlines in the league from the last week and some of the performances that blew us away. We'll be right back.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And obviously the big headline from the past week, it happened over the weekend. I was in a movie and I thought the world was ending. My phone was going off in my pocket. I was like, what? I need to like leave the theater and make sure my kids are all right. But yeah, Kyrie to the Mavs. It's being reported as Kyrie for Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, a first round pick and several second rounders. There was a brief period where it appeared the Nets may be trying to add a third team to the deal in order to acquire more firepower. But that didn't seem to gain any traction or didn't get confirmed, I guess. So the deal is going through as previously reported. But yeah, Ryan, as a player and a teammate, how did you react to the trade deadline when the rumors involved someone you were going to go to battle with or on a nightly basis? What does it do to you when your name is involved in trade talks?
Well, I would say I was never, you know, outwardly involved in trade talks. Me personally, I was always blessed that I was able to peacefully negotiate the trades that I was a part of. They were expected, you know. And I feel like, you know, from a player standpoint, I was never some mega superstar. So I felt like I've done everything I could for the teams that I was on. My time had either run its course or, you know, I wasn't being valued the way that I felt like I should have been. And you always looked to be going somewhere that I was valued. I'm ecstatic for Mark Cuban also because Dallas, I think this is probably the biggest name they've been able to acquire via trade. And I think, you know, Mark has missed out on a number of free agencies. He's always, Mark is always in the mix with a player and hadn't really been able to bring it home. And I think this is the biggest name that Mark has been able to make that trade for and bring in as far as in terms of a guy that's a world champ, a guy who can still go, a superstar mentality. I think when Kyrie sees the love that he's going to get from Dallas and Mark Cuban there, and you got a megastar, like I'm thinking, I can't imagine looking on a scout report and be like, all right, so we throw the house at Luka, and then when we all rotate that way, we got to, and he skips it that way, then everybody got to shift right back over there, go guard Kyrie. So that, man, that's going to be a headache. I can't even think of how to, you know, how to scout it. And I think Luka's so good. Luka is so good that the problem he runs into is like, hey, man, he can't do this for a 7-game series. He needs help. Like he can't do this for all 82 games. You know, at some point he's going to, you know, be tired. You know, he needs the help. And I think this maybe answers that call or that challenge because Luka Doncic is a certified. He's a certified dog. You mentioned him with LeBron. You mentioned him with Bird. You mentioned him with Magic, as we said earlier, with Kevin Durant. Luka, that name, you mentioned him with Steph Curry. You don't bat an eye. He's in that conversation with those type of guys. So I'm happy to see what it is, and I'm happy for Kyrie. And I think it gets intriguing, guys, if we look forward to say, hey, you know, did they lose those assets for nothing? You know, are they going to be able to re-sign him? Is this going to be a Kawhi Leonard type of deal? You know, the dice roll that Toronto rolled, and then he ends up going to L.A., you know? And I think, hey, or is this going to be the Paul George move where no one really saw him staying in OKC? And he was like, Paul was like, they gave up draft picks. They committed to me. These people rock with me. I'm going to stay here. You know, and Dallas is a beautiful city, man. I played in Dallas. I played for Mark Cuban. It's a fun city, man. And as an owner, you know, Mark does it the right way. He steps up. So I'm happy for him. I'm intriguing to see how it works. And the NBA drama keeps rolling, fellas.
Yeah. There are some questions I think people have about, like, well, what, you know, they're both ball dominant players. They're both, you know, not the foremost defenders of their positions, but at the same time, the more I think about it, the more I hear you talk, the more it's just like, I don't know, man, that level of shot making, like two of the best, if not the two best shot makers in the league, like just the two players who I'm like, how do they do what they do? Like, it seems almost supernatural, their ability to put the ball in the basket, like at so many different levels, at so many different angles. That's going to be hard to defend would be my hot take. All right. Let's talk about some of the best performances of the week. Mad Boosty's great performances of the week is what we've cleverly called this segment of the show. You know, just first of all, Klay Thompson still out here doing it, you know. He put up 42 on 12 of 16 from three on OKC in a blowout win without Steph. Wiggins looking like he's back in the form we saw him in during last year's title run. And yeah, I don't know. I love seeing Klay go off. I also want to talk about Keegan Murray with 30 to lead the Kings in scoring and win over the Rockets. Keegan Murray, rookie, 8 for 12 from deep. He's shooting 40% from three on over six attempts a game as a rookie.
Just if you need him.
If you need him. Six, how tall is he? He's like
6'8".
At least 6'8", 6'9". Good 6'8".
I love this. This again, this is one of my favorite things to highlight. The progressiveness of the league, one of the things we've already hit on, hitting on my second favorite theme. Nobody knows anything. When it comes to people coming into the league, you know, all the you know, sports guys were out here with the, well, you know, this big mistake for the Kings. The Kings have done it again. They missed out on a great piece, great opportunity to get a piece who shoots 40% from three at 6'8", like is one of already like a premier shooter in the league as a rookie for the third place team in the West. I don't know. Keegan Murray, were you on that game?
I was. The beautiful thing, we talked about Sabonis earlier. He's in a situation with veterans around him where he just has to play his role.
Yeah.
So between Sabonis and Fox, those guys generate a lot of ball movement and a lot of corner threes. So when you start to simplify things for a young guy, he knows his role, which is to catch and shoot the basketball. It first off started with him just kind of getting open looks and just being aggressive. And then it was like, well, he's not that open. He's just hitting these contested threes. And then he got that like little, you know, like guys get that pep in the step. Like they start seeing the ball go in before it's, you know, they even had the ball. They get that different, that little faster run. He had that. So I think it's extremely impressive because he's a fit. And I think that Sacramento knew they didn't need like a boomer bust potential guy. They needed a guy who could come in right now and play. And right. Keegan Murray, I think if you kind of followed him, he's a little older, but he's ready now. And Sacramento got a guy that's ready now. And if you even go beyond that, I would say the trade that they made with Indiana, Halliburton, Sabonis, like it won for both sides. It's not often you see those trades win for both sides. Both all-stars, like both playing well. And sometimes it's just a change of scenery. And I think it's really cool for both sides. Someone didn't have to win and someone didn't have to lose. But I think both ended up being really good fits because, like you said, how could you trade Halliburton? Why would you do that? Like,
right.
Because we're better because it fits. And then he's better there. Like, will you love to have him? Yes. But like it works that way.
And because you, the basketball media, are underrating De'Aaron Fox because you know, he hasn't been doing what, we've seen more of him. We know that he has this in him. You guys just don't know that yet. So, yeah, this was the right move for the Kings. Yeah, I don't know. It's exciting. The Kings are exciting. The Kings, do we think they're going to be there in the Western Conference Finals?
Ooh, they got a shot at just as much as anybody.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Because you can look at those numbers and say it's a team that doesn't defend. I think they're undersized. They're going to struggle to guard the rim. That's just part of it. But you got to understand part of their defensive numbers are so bad. There's an element of they play fast and their pace is up. So when you play fast, you're going to give up shots on the other end. But when you're scoring, 130 a night and you're giving up 120, like that's just part of, like you kind of, man. I get Golden State vibes from Mike Brown and that team.
Yeah.
Like in the sense of that they kind of run and then in the half court, they'll get disciplined. They'll run their stuff. Like they're in a sweet little groove. And I think that they've got to play just enough defense. And I think it becomes tough because they don't have that eraser back there. Like Sabonis is a great defensive rebound, but they don't have that eraser where, man, we made a mistake, guys. Like, dang, that Robert Williams just came over and blocked the shot and helped us out. They don't have that part, that piece. But they do rotate, they do play together, and they really pressure the basketball. So there's, I wouldn't want to necessarily match up with the Kings right now in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Speaking actually to that, you know, we've already discussed the Kings just recently. We discussed, the Warriors earlier. This is something that, Jack and Miles have discussed, in weeks past. The West, I've personally never seen it as, I don't know whether it's competitive or whether it's just, like a higher level of parity or whatever whatever you want to attribute it to. But the 4 seed and the 12 seed are still less than 5 games apart from one another. How does this shape up? So who's going to be on the outside looking in when, in another 28 games or so?
Somebody's going to be real upset. Somebody's going to merge. Somebody's going to be real upset. I think what's tough right now, and you're kind of seeing it with like New Orleans, you got to be healthy in these moments. Health is going to be such a big part of it. But like everybody can't go in a party, man. There's a fee at the door, the fire marshal's out, the party's popping, everybody ain't gonna make it, And I think you look back, what, about 2 or 3 years now? Thank you, NBA, for the play-in game. Man, it's this play-in game about to turn up. Okay. So this is gonna be something, really cool to see and look forward to. And I think, man, a lot of people don't understand, like it's tough on my young Rockets because more than ever, I see the Rockets going into games. And these are like must-win games at this time of year. Like, we can't afford to drop. Well, we're going to drop 5 spots if we lose this game. And teams are our poor young guys, man. Like, they are coming at them in a different way, man, every night because this race is so tight. There's no nights off.
Right.
I want to say the Rockets might have played three or four teams as young as they are this season. Like kind of like, hey, like go pound for pound, like, you know, like in terms of age and, you know, like I think we've seen Detroit, San Antonio, which is they still play hard as heck.
Mm-hmm.
And
Orlando, maybe
Orlando plays hard.
And Orlando's like huge. They're like the Monstars. It's like it's like space. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's competitive and it's tough.
Yeah. I do want to talk about real quick. Cam Thomas is going out of his mind. Put up 44 off the bench in a win against Porzingis and the Wizards without Kyrie and KD. And then also have 47 in a loss to the Clippers in a starting role for the Nets right after the Kyrie trade, making him the youngest guy since LeBron to score 44 or more in back-to-back games. And Jabari, you were asking a good question. Like, how many Cam Thomases are out there just waiting to go off, just like waiting for their moment to just get the ball some, get fed?
Ain't many. I don't think it was an accident either. It ain't many. I think that young boy in Dallas, what, had 27, I forget his name, the other night, man.
Jaden Hardy.
So in Dallas kind of had a similar kind of like, hey, you don't need to bring him in. I can do it. Like,
right.
Similar performances. And I think that's the fun thing about the league. And, you know, I think our question is this for real? You know, is this for real? And I think that the league is trending in a way where, you know, we're going to see more of those moments because it's such a 3-point dominant league. I don't want to just say that guys don't defend anymore. It's just, it's hard to. Like, when I was in the league, spacing wasn't near the same. Your power forward shot 15 footers. You couldn't contest the paint and run them off of the free throw line. That's the 3-point line. Now you got to chase these guys off the line at 26 feet, you know, 24 feet away from the basket. So it's hard to defend, you know? So I think you will see more of these performances. And I think that you have a number of these guys. Now there's more of a role where before these guys were like gunners. They were gunners. They were selfish. That guy's too small. He's not a point guard. He can't play in this league just scoring. Like, you got a lot of those guys now in the league that do that. And I think we will see more of those performances.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about a thing that we've been calling a business decision for the past like three episodes. We've been talking about players who, when they're about to be dunked on, you know, Ja said, jump with me if you want to go viral, right? And sometimes when people make a business decision and like they might jump, but then the rest of their body goes dead, like they're trying to fend off like a bear attack because they know what's about to happen. So just the phenomena of business decisions, you know, we saw Norman Powell baptize Julius Randle after a poor business decision. We saw in the Lakers Pels game, AD make a very coherent, visible business decision on a Brandon Ingram dunk in the second quarter. Is that something, do you remember ever making a business decision, Ryan, in your career?
Yeah, I have. I mean, when you're just too late, like, come on, you're too late, dude.
Right.
Like, but here's a big part of it too. I remember like Matt Harpring ripped me off the rim and like clotheslined me and like I hit the floor like back first and it's like poof, poof, like and the referee was like, yeah, two free throws, get up and go. And I'm like, this guy just assaulted me in 40 states.
Right.
And there's no call.
Like, yeah.
Two free throws, what? So you can't do that like just the same OG, like no dunk rule no more. Like, you know, like you can't just get away with it. So I think that's why you do see some more of the business decisions. I think there is a lot, like, come on, man, like you can't be soft. Like some of that, like, come on, you don't forget the internet highlights, you know. And somebody was even telling me the other day that, you know, this is unheard of. I'd never check my phone until after the game. I would never be in a movie and hear my phone buzzing. It would be on silent, Jack.
Right. yeah. No, it was on silent. It was just blowing up my hip. I was like, whoa.
These kids, it was probably me. Sorry.
These kids are on their phone at halftime. They see highlights at halftime. Like, you come in there on their, like, that's crazy. Like, never.
The players?
Yes.
NBA players today are on their phone at halftime. I would have man, one of the vets would have jumped down my throat. They saw me on my cell phone at halftime.
Wow.
You know, so it's a different era. So I think it's a mix of, you can't flagrant foul. You can't just go hurting players anymore. And some of these guys are making them, you know, so we'll grade the business decisions now, but there are more than ever.
Yeah.
Who would you make the most business decisions against? And the reason why I asked the question is because, you look, you came into the league when Shaq was still there. He was in the back half of his career, but he was still there, still active, still moving around. You know, Duncan was still around. Who are the guys that made you make the most business decisions?
I really didn't. I just tried not to be late. But right. Shaq got me, and Amari Stoudemire got me. And the business decision wasn't mine. It was Kevin Love. I'm so mad at Kevin. Kevin Love was like getting backed down by Amari. And like at the last second, like he like whipped his shoulder out the way. And then I just get facial. And I'm right. like, all right, if you bump him, I'm going to come meet him upstairs. And you like Kevin, did you set me up? You have a deal with Amari Stoudemire and set me up? So that's
like ducking behind the toll booth.
Yeah, I was just always early. And like, you know, you kind of have, especially as a shot blocker, in your mind, the guys who can go, like, hey, like I can't be late with him. Like, you know, so I would just be LeBron, Wade. I would be outside the block. I wasn't waiting for them to get there. You know, so we have this, you know, fantastic play that we watched for years. Shaq is backing me down. I'm thinking this is just going to be just like shoot around. He's backing me down. The help's going to come. He's going to kick it out. We're going to rotate around the corner, and we're going to get a contested three box up rebound. Then we go to the layup, right? He's backing me down. Nobody comes. He's backing me down. Nobody comes. He's backing me down. Nobody comes. At this point, he's size 18s or in the paint. He turns, elbows me across the face, and dunks over me. And I realize never again. Guard these guys like that double team ain't coming. Because live on ABC, no double team came. And I was, you know, I was out to sale. So, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, like I just gave Shaq the greatest contest ever, but still, like, you learn that lesson. Your teammates, you know, when the lights come on, they don't, you know, they care about you like you thought they would.
All right, Ryan, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to put you in the hot seat for the rapid fire round of questioning, the fastest round of questioning in the history of podcasting. So just, you know, get loosened up during the break and we'll be back. And it's going to be so fast. If you put a hat on, the hat would spin around on your head like that. That's how fast it is. We'll be right back.
The 82 game preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and it is time for the rapid fire round of questioning. We might try and slow things down. You got to keep us on pace. You got to just move.
It's your job.
It's like the
Are there any wrong answers?
No such thing as a wrong answer. You're on Boosties.
Yeah. And in fact, we prefer wrong answers. We prefer answers that you haven't even thought about. That's how quick they're coming out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. All right. Jabari, would you like to do the honors and take the first question?
You sure? You don't want to go?
Yeah, no, I'll take it. That's right. All right. Ryan, if you could bet on any... So we were recently talking about how the Pacers had somebody hit a layup, free throw, three-pointer, half-court shot, and they won $500 for hitting all those shots in a row. Because I guess they have high expectations for their shot-making ability in the state of Indiana. If you could bet on any fan base to make the in-arena challenge shots, which fan base are you betting on?
Houston, man.
Houston. Some athletes
in the crowd. What are you? Come on, Jack. Okay.
Now, if you're expanding outside the world of sports to just any fan base, can be Star Wars fan base.
Yep.
Star Trek fan base. Olympic darts, Olympic archery.
I'd probably say the golfers.
Golfers. Interesting.
Golfers have an eye for the ball. They have a good eye. I think a golfer would knock the shot down.
Definitely translates with Steph. He's got that pretty swing and the ability to, he's a pretty good shooter too, I think.
I take Tiger over Brady, and it didn't make that shot.
Ooh. We should change this question to be about like other athletes
jumping in there.
Which athlete would you take that you've never seen shoot a basketball before?
If a golfer does it, do you have to do the golf clap, or can you act accordingly? Yeah,
they drain the half court shot.
They secretly want to just turn up.
They want it.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. If you could, all I have to ask is if you could just keep us going. You know, we slowed down there. That question took a lot longer than what the standard is here on Ball of Fire.
So, yes, boss.
If you don't mind, I appreciate it.
All right, boss.
So I'm coming to you with this basketball reference. Oh boy, basketball reference has
fake
your
news.
Oh, you know where
not
I'm going.
Not even close. Fake news.
So for the benefit of the listeners, you know, feel free to let Google be your friend. But Basketball Reference has Ryan's nickname as Booty Call. Can you shed some light on the origin of that? Or if it's not safe for this podcast, can you give us some other really good?
Tony Allen is one of those homies that you have that doesn't know. And like, kind of, if he don't got nothing to say, like, he just feel like he always has to say something. He's that friend.
Right.
And he was doing an interview. Hey, Ryan Hollins is playing great for you guys. He's shown up. He's been here through camp. You know, he comes in, he doesn't miss a beat. What do you have to say about him?
Hey, kill him. We call him Booty Call. We call him, he ready to go.
Tony, why would you say that? I have never been called that in the locker room or in my life. And most importantly, I have children. So Basketball Reference, you're going to get a defamation lawsuit from me if you don't change that soon. My kids, man. What's wrong with them? I ain't never been called that in my life. Who called them? Man, Booty. Listen. Hey, listen. Come up to me and call you that. Call me that if you like it. We'll see how that ends up. How your night ends and how my night ends.
It's the equivalent of like microwave from the 80s. The modern equivalent is Booty Call.
There you go.
Yeah, when you call, he's ready to go. Anthony Edwards recently acknowledged a 3-bag-per-day habit of hot Cheetos fries. What was your wildest eating habit when you were a young athlete? And what was the wildest thing you witnessed diet-wise when you were in the league?
I was told that my eating was equivalent to an NFL defensive tackle. I couldn't gain a pound. My metabolism is just ridiculous. You call it the gift and the curse. I can eat anything I want. And the joke would be that instead of like dessert, I would just order more food for dessert, like more entrees. Eating habit. My boy, shout out Adam Morrison. Before the game, he would eat like a 6 or 8 ounce steak, full mashed potatoes, everything before an NBA game as a rookie. And
wow,
Jabari's stomach just turned as he thought about that. And then going to the game and play, and he was like, that was his thing. And he'd go into our little like entertainment room and he'd eat it.
All where right. Where's he? He's just like ordering in from like Morton's to the locker room.
They would kind of make it for him and bring it with like a little top on.
Yeah.
Like it was his thing. It was the oddest. Adam did it and he lived by it.
That's shut up.
And he was skinny.
Champion,
still skinny.
Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Keeping it going. With All-Star Weekend in mind, we've asked this question, you know, several different ways, but I'll come to you with it. Actually, I'm going to remix it a little bit. You can put together 4 dunkers all time. Give me your 4 dunkers.
Joe Green, Aaron Gordon.
Oh, okay. I see where you go.
Zach LaVine. And number 4.
I was going to say, so no Jordan, no Vince, no
VC.
Bean.
I'll go VC.
Okay.
Like, honestly, like, we just rock with Bean and Mike. They was doing stuff. We seen guys jump further. Like, an honorable mention, Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, like Nate. Like, I could slide Nate in there because he brought the energy with it. He was little. We could rock. We were, shout out Nate Robinson, man.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then similarly, same time machine that we just brought those players from their prime with. You can now get in that time machine, go back and watch any single NBA game from throughout history in person. Which game are you choosing?
I could watch any game in history, NBA game. I think that I want to see. The Malice of the Palace, dog.
Oh. Yo, best answer yet. Best answer yet.
I mean, not a finals game, not a, you know, a serious matchup at down the stretch of a season, not a playoff game, but a game in like November. Okay.
My mind went and said, let me see Magic jump center, you know, and the sky hook and all. And then I was like, Yo, like the brawl, like in person. I don't want to be fighting it. I just want to watch. Like, he just went. He's in the stands.
Yeah.
Like, I think like seeing it, like the people up close and personal got a different view.
Yeah. I'd say that was one of the more interactive fan experiences that we got in the history of the league.
Experience. 100%.
Forgive me, guys.
No worries. All right. Then finally, we have a question that we ask everybody. Is it going to be Jack or Jabari?
For what?
You got to pick. And I'm not leading the witness at all. I'm just, you know, Jack, that guy, or, you know, me.
I'll go with you, Jabari, man. I'll go with you.
We break streaks here. We are here to break streaks.
Is Jack that like so like there's no rhyme or reason. I just have to pick one of you.
Yep.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And Jack was on at least a 3-game
winning streak. Yeah. So
Jabari, you sold it slightly.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah. No, a little dirty pool. Unfair.
If you want to change your mind, that's fine.
My mind went there. You listen.
Hey, we said don't even think about it. You clearly didn't when you made your decision, but that's fine. Ryan Hollins, been such a pleasure having you on the show for like 99% of the show. Such a pleasure. You nailed it. And then thank you so much. Where can people, you know, find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
First off, my day job is with the Houston Rockets. Shout out to the Rockets. Color commentator. I'm living the dream. I can't believe they still allow me in the building. I wasn't supposed to be there as a player, and now I get to be there as an analyst and get to talk about the game that I love. So I'm having a blast. Myself and Craig Ackerman just have fun on the broadcast. And NBA Rookie Life, you got to check out the pod. It just started it. It's a short. It's a fun listen. I'm going to get NBA's future stars on, have those young guys on, talk about their experience and what they're going through. as rookies. I'm gonna have some of the OG, the legend, the veterans on. I'm talking about their rookie experience. And I think people need to know what these young guys go through. Imagine like dreaming about something. You live through that dream. So just kind of getting these guys. And I think it'll be real fun as the pod develops to look back and hear some of these guys, how excited they were, how bright they were. And we had some fun with them, but it's really cool. And you can check it out anywhere through iHeart and the NBA. So I am a blessed, happy man to sit around and talk basketball, man. Guys, you know, we could do this a lot longer. Like, I really, really like basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this was really fun. Thank you. We are happy men to have had you on.
You don't sound happy, Jack.
You know, I took that loss a little hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm choking back a sob, as you can see. I mean, the listeners can't see, but there are tears streaming down my face. But that's, you know, that's normal. It's normal. It's what happens sometimes when you lose. But yeah, honestly, Ryan, thank you so much. What a blast.
Thank you.
What a
blast. Anytime, guys, huge fans, and, you know, keep up the good work. Seriously, keep it up. Keep going, man. We at Hoop Talk is, it keeps our sport going.
Awesome, man.
We'll certainly try.
All right, Ryan. Our Boosties listeners of the week were Paul Garaventa, one of the greats, for making sure we saw an absolute bomb from Dame where it wasn't even like the shot clock was running down. He was just like, seconds. Oh, you're not going to guard me out here?
Look, we've seen long shots before, but he was legitimately standing just inside the half court. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Him and Steph did that at the All-Star game a couple years back when they were just like trading mid-court shots, just casually pulling up and drilling them every time. Was that last season? That was last season.
It was either last year or the year before. It was recent. But this was like an actual game. So, yeah, I appreciate how the players just continue to push the boundaries of what we thought, you know, what we once thought the game, you know, should or did look
like. Yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter at Mad Boosties. We are back next week with a whole nother episode of the show. Until then, bye-bye. Happy NBA watching. This has been Jack and Jabari signing out. I don't know how to sign out. Like, I just want to keep talking. This is...
I don't mean to laugh. I'm laughing because you said bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What do you say?
My famous sign-off, bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.